Today I'm returning to our short summer series about streams and trees. We began with Psalm 1, and I was so delighted last weekend when Laura Venema started texting me pictures of trees and streams. She remembered our series, and I thought that there were some photos that she sent me from Fallsburg Park, where her family loves to swim, and her boys pull themselves out of the water by the roots of the tree. One of those pictures was in a different set. Anyway, these pictures are of a tree that looks like a Psalm 1 tree, transplanted by streams of water where it fruits and flourishes, like a person whose life is rooted in the Word of God. So we looked at Psalm 1, and we also looked at the tree of life growing along the river of life, flowing from the throne of God in Revelation 21 and 22. And we've enjoyed those photos and drawings and more from many of you, and are glad to be able to feature them again in this service through our liturgy and especially during the offertory today. And now let us read more about waters and trees in this beautiful passage from Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 55. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples and a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you all will summon nations you know not. Nations you do not know will come running to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
That's the picture of Fallsburg Park and the boys of the Venema family. Recently, I finished reading the terrible and beautiful novel, Demon Copperhead. For young Damon, or Demon, at home and later in foster care, life was a constant struggle. Many times his most basic needs were not met. He was always hungry, and he was mostly abandoned or abused. He would think about food, make plans to get to a better, safer place. Though he was only a child, he worked hard to figure out how to survive. And most of the time, the plans he made did not work out. Too often, I had to set the book down because I just wasn't ready to read how his next scheme would fall apart. Too often, something that started out looking hopeful turned sour. He was famished, hungry for real food as well as for emotional and spiritual flourishing. And Damon had a hard time imagining a new and better future. Too often, our plans also are not how things work out. And this was true for God's people Israel, too. Their plans did not work out the way they had hoped. So the prophet Isaiah has come to God's people to speak hope to them while everything seems hopeless. For Israel was in exile in Babylon. Throughout this book of prophecy, Isaiah reminds them that God is with God's people always, even in exile. Even though they sometimes feel very much alone in the foreign land in which they were forced to dwell. The trauma was great as they watched their beloved city of Jerusalem destroyed, their families torn apart, their country lost to them. Perhaps they even felt abandoned by their God. The people of Israel might not have been ready to hear a word from the Lord. Maybe they were making their own plans for how to carry on. And maybe they were getting used to the way things were and didn't even try to imagine a new and better future. Still, God is faithful, and God is with God's people always. So Isaiah comes to them with this amazingly warm and wonderful invitation from the Lord. Come, you who are thirsty, come. Those first five verses are all words from the Lord. Come, 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 come to the waters, the refreshing water, the water that sustains your life. Come for wine and milk, for the bread of life, for the richest feast. Come and listen to me so that you may live. Listen, the Lord says. Remember my faithful love, the covenant with David, my promises to be your God forever. Walter Brueggemann explains, this offer of fidelity is sharply contrasted with the Babylonian offer of exploitative, coercive, oppressive life that denies dignity, freedom, and security, and never yields abundance or joy. He says, indeed, the regime of the empire is profoundly opposed to the very notions of well-being fostered by Yahweh. And now the Lord is saying, come to me. I will bring you to a new place of flourishing and abundance. And then the prophet Isaiah speaks. He says, seek the Lord. The Lord is near, so call on him. Put aside your current ways and turn to the Lord. Now the passage refers to the wicked who must forsake their ways. Yet Brueggemann suggests that they are not necessarily disobedient or evil. They're just so accustomed to the ways of Babylon that they don't give much thought to the Lord's invitation into a new future. He says they don't see the need to return to the Lord, to reorient themselves for a new and better life. And I wonder, how might this apply to us now? When we hear in this passage about the wicked or the unrighteous, and in other passages throughout Scripture, we often think that the wicked means someone else, not me. And when we think about the people who have misguided thoughts, well, again, that's someone else, not me. Their ways are not my ways, and my ways are right. Yet the word of the Lord comes to us too, comes to me too. Forsake your ways. Examine yourself. Seek the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Don't worry too much about what might seem to be the unrighteous purposes of others. This is an invitation to you, an offer to reorient your life to God, to receive the Lord's mercy and pardon, and to come to the refreshing water. And oh, how we do thirst for that living water. How we need to be rescued from our ways. I have to admit to you that I first came to this passage, Isaiah 55, with such joy and eagerness because truly it is one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture. But then this week I got a little muddled and had to wrestle with the middle of this text. Because if speaking hope in the midst of oppression was challenging for Isaiah and the Israelites, it is also hard for us. Hard for us to hear and to hold on to hope when our lives seem to be crumbling. So many of you are going through seasons where life is so hard. And as I come alongside you in these messy, messy times, I wonder about the Lord's plans. How is a destructive tornado part of God's plan? How is the loss of your job part of God's plan? How is that scary infection part of God's plan? How is the fracture in your marriage part of God's plan? How is the deep political divide part of God's plan? And how is the turmoil in our congregations and denomination part of God's plan? How? We have so many questions. Because our ways are not God's ways. And so we want to listen. We want to hear more of God's promises. So let's look at Isaiah 43, also another passage that is rich with promise and full of baptismal imagery. It says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. The Lord our God is our Savior. Even when we feel like we're passing through deep waters or being scorched by flames, yet the Lord is with us. And ultimately, the Lord will rescue us." And Isaiah 55 also reminds us of this hope. And Isaiah 55 places a responsibility on us too. The Lord invites, the Lord offers refreshing water and wine and bread, the Lord offers a way to a new place, and we have to turn to the Lord, repent, and respond with obedience. The prophet says, "Seek the Lord," and the Lord says, "Come to me." I often use this book called Seeking God's Face for my personal devotions. And throughout this past week, I noticed that the daily readings and prayers especially resonated with my study of Isaiah 55. For one thing, the Psalms spoke into it. "Come and see what the Lord has done." And they spoke of the joy of the earth. For another, the other Bible readings this week were from Exodus and reminded me not only of the stories we're hearing about Joseph when the people were coming to Egypt, but also of how God first delivered Israel from oppression in Egypt. And then they're grumbling about how they missed Egypt and how God provided bread from heaven. And one day, the prayer arising from Heidelberg Catechism 52 said this: "Faithful God, this life is filled with more than enough trouble and tears to dominate my vision and distract me from seeing you. When captured by anxiety, I turn defensive and hostile, of no use to you or others. Take the blinders of fear away and turn my eyes to heaven to see you and be confident in your goodness so that I can once again serve you here on earth." That was one of the prayers this week. Turn my eyes to heaven, to God's goodness, to God's ways. They are higher than our ways. And here I am back in Isaiah 55. Our eyes are drawn to the heavens. Even before telescopes, people looked at the sun and moon and stars and clouds and were amazed. And now we are even more in awe of the vastness of the universe because we see pictures of the galaxies from the James Webb telescope. It's amazing. And when we look at the heavens, we wonder at the vastness, which is beyond our imagining. And we believe in a God who holds all of that in his hands. And we cannot begin to comprehend the mind and heart of a God who is so great. The heavens remind us that the Lord's ways are higher than ours. And from the heavens also come gifts from God, like that manna which sustained Israel in the desert, like the refreshing rain that waters the earth, making it bud and flourish. And then the Lord says that the way that the rain makes the earth flourish points to how God's word also goes forth and will not return empty, but will accomplish God's purposes. Juliana Clausens, an Old Testament professor at the University of Stellenbosch, South Africa, writes this: "Immediately following the statement about the efficacy of God's word, the prophet employs imaginative words that conjure up a world where the mountains and the hills break out in song, and the trees of the field clap their hands in accompaniment. The prophet's words envision a world where the thorn trees and briars that throughout Isaiah's prophecy were used as a symbol of judgment, those thorn trees and briars will now be transformed into luscious green myrtles and cypresses." She says this radical transformation serves as a powerful symbol for the new life that lies ahead for the exiles after the devastation brought about by the Babylonian exile. And as new life would come for the Israelites as they come out of exile, new life is coming for us too. For God remembers us, and God sent his Son for us, and God invites us to turn to Jesus Christ. Whether or not this was the original purpose of Isaiah 55, the vivid imagery there also points to Christ and to the sacraments. The bread without cost points to the Lord's Supper, the feast with the bread, which is the body of Christ, offered freely to nourish us, body and soul. And the waters remind us of baptism and the covenant promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ, whose blood washes away sin. And Jesus Christ himself is the living water who raises us up from drowning in the waters and restores us to new life. And the sacraments help us to remember that God remembers us. The Lord remembers us and invites us to come. In Isaiah 55, the Lord says, "Come, listen and come to me that you may live." And then the prophet Isaiah urges us, "Seek the Lord, repent, and turn to the Lord." And then the Lord speaks again to remind us that his ways are higher. We cannot comprehend the mind of God, and we will not. not always understand the Lord's ways. Yet the Lord speaks a word that accomplishes his purpose and points to the heavens to remind us of his majesty and his mystery, points to the rain and streams to remind us of the life-giving word and water, points to trees to remind us that all creation praises the Lord. As we sang at the beginning of our service, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea." The whole creation reminds us of the Lord's faithful, loving kindness. Near the end of the book, Demon Copperhead, things do finally take a turn. Demon makes a change. And as his situation improves, he's able to open his eyes to the natural beauty where he'd grown up and to appreciate the people who had been part of his life. And he is able to experience some good that finally comes to him despite all the plans that had gone wrong. And with God at work in our lives, restoration will come to us too. Good may come when and where we least expect it. Joy can rise out of despair, and peace will come again. Maybe not right away. Yet God promises to be with us, even in the mucky middle. Restoration will come into our lives, to our hearts and our minds, and our soul and our strength. For the Lord is near. And the Lord's purposes are good, and sooner or later those purposes will be accomplished. Sooner or later. For now, we long for that time. Though already we get a taste of how God's kingdom is coming, times when righteousness and peace do flourish within us and around us, in the presence of the Lord and in the fellowship of the Lord's people, yet these promises are not yet completely fulfilled. And so we yearn. We yearn for that time when the trees clap their hands and the hills burst into song, when we will go forth in joy and peace. We trust this will happen in the Lord's time and in the Lord's way. And we look forward to a time when the feast will be even more abundant and the waters will stream forth from the throne of God and the tree of life will flourish forevermore. Now, I want to go to the font to finish, but I'm not sure if my microphone is still working. Is it? It's good. Okay. I would like to read again some of these promises from Isaiah 55, for they're so beautiful. Come, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters. Delight in the richest feast. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him. For the Lord is near. Turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy. Turn to our God, and he will freely pardon. The Lord's ways are higher than our ways, and God invites us to come, to trust in him. For the way of the Lord is trustworthy, and the Lord will achieve the purposes he intends. And the Lord promises, you will go out with joy. You will be led forth in peace. The trees and all creation will join in the praise of the Lord, and it will be a sign of God's glory, a sign that will endure forever. For the Lord is good. God's loving kindness is extended to all. It is a deep welcome. So come. Come to the Lord to experience joy and peace. Let's pray. Holy God, remind us that though your ways are higher, yet you yourself are very near, and you invite us to come and receive your grace and mercy. Like the trees that will clap their hands, O God, fill us with your joy and send us forth with your peace. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.